Amen. Thank you, Brother Ernie. Well, good to see you this morning. If you have your Bible with you today, well, thank you. Appreciate that. It's always a joy to be here. Have Nancy with me this week. I appreciate the fact that she's able to come, be a part of the meeting. My friend, Brother Ernie, I tell you, thank you, my brother. Brother Stephen, thank you for letting me come back. Let's see now. Is there anything I need to do? Okay, I'm just wondering. I'm seeing. Ernie, they stay to hear you sing, son. As soon as I get in the pulpit, it's over, brother. Everybody's gone. Amen. There we go. Yeah. Checking IDs at the door. Luke chapter 6. Gospel of Luke chapter 6 today. I want to look at one verse with you this morning, verse 44. I'm going to read a few of the verses around it, but we're going to concentrate our attention on the 44th verse. The Lord's really spoken to me out of this text in recent days, and I hope He'll speak to you as plainly as He has me. We'll read beginning in verse 43 and read together to verse 45. And then I'll draw your attention back to a phrase. One sentence this morning will be our text. Beginning in verse 43, the Bible says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Now look at verse 44 again. That's the central principle. And I want to spend our time this morning in this first service of the scheduled series of services looking at this sentence from the lips of Jesus. And you recognize, don't you, this was spoken by the Lord Jesus Himself. If you have what's called a red letter edition of the New Testament, you see these words are in red, which means this came straight from the lips of Christ. This is a faithful record of what Jesus Himself said and taught and preached. You can't do better as a preacher than preaching what Jesus preached, can you? Verse 44, He said this, "For every tree is known by his own fruit." Period. There's a period after that, isn't there? This sentence is what I want to spend time on this morning. It is the most concise summation of a spiritual principle that is so basic, so necessary to be understood. Our Lord Jesus cuts right to the heart of the matter in this text, and He does it in the fewest words possible. There's a statement, there's a phrase that's going around nowadays. I hear it a lot. I didn't hear it until just a few years ago, but now I hear it all the time. In fact, an automobile had it on their window in the motel parking lot I was in this past week. This is what it says. "It is what it is." You familiar with that? I never heard that until about 5-6 years ago maybe, and one member of our family started saying it. Now, everywhere I go, and I say it myself all the time. It is what it is. What does that mean? That means you might as well face reality. There's no use pretending that it's something else. There's no use trying to lie to yourself or hide from the truth. Just face facts. It is what it is. Well, that's what our text says. Brother, it is what it is. Every tree shall be known by his own fruit. I think that's a great way to summarize what Jesus said in this text. It is what it is. There's no use trying to pretend you're something that you're not. There's no use trying to lie to yourself and convince yourself that you're something that all the evidence says is not so. The evidence of our lives. That's what I want to think about a moment with you today. Let's just face facts. And let's consider this sentence in its component parts. There are three parts to this verse that I think we need to spend a few moments with. First of all, I'll say that this is a universal truth. You see the word every, don't you? Jesus said, "For every tree shall be known by his own fruit." Now, you know there are some portions of the Bible that do not apply to you. Did you know that? There are some parts of the Scripture that do not apply to everyone. What do I mean by that? Well, obvious illustration. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. If you're not a husband, that's not talking to you. Doesn't apply to you. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as the church is submitted unto Christ. If you're not a wife, that doesn't apply to you. That's a portion of Scripture that is limited in application. It's speaking to a certain kind of person, a person in a certain kind of situation. Another illustration, 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verses 1 to 13. We're given a series of qualifications for pastors and deacons. And if you're not called of God to be one of those two things, that passage is not talking to you. You see, there are portions of the Bible that do not apply to everyone. There are portions of Scripture that apply to particular people in particular situations, and they may not have an immediate and obvious application to my life or to your life or to the circumstances that we're in at the moment. But what I'm looking at this morning, you see, here is a Bible verse that applies to the whole world and to every one of us in this room right now. There's not a one of us that can duck or dodge this verse of Scripture. Jesus said, every tree shall be known by his own fruit. That applies to preachers and deacons. That applies to laymen. That applies to singers. That applies to people who can't carry a tune in a bucket. That applies to every last one of us this morning. Every tree shall be known by his own fruit. So here's a spiritual principle that applies to the whole world and to every one of us here this morning. There are no exceptions to the principle of this text. It is a universal truth. Secondly, this is an individual truth. Jesus said, every tree, singular, shall be known by his own fruit. His own. You see the singularity of it, the individuality of it. Every one of us as individuals form the subject of this verse from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word translated every in this text means literally each and every one in particular. Each and every tree in particular. So what this text does is it looks us in the eye one by one and says, I'm talking to you. This is about you. Never mind your brother or your sister. Never mind your neighbor or the folks sitting around you on the pews for a moment. This is about you as an individual person. Now, we like to lose ourselves in the herd, I think. We find comfort sometimes in blending in with the mass of humanity and even congregationally. You know, we can lose ourselves as a member of the congregation. And oftentimes we try to excuse our lives as individual people by looking at the culture around us and saying, well, you know, everyone else is doing it. The whole world says it's okay. It's commonly accepted as normal in my generation, so it must be all right. But spiritually and ultimately, I am, as an individual, going to stand before God and give an account of myself. Never mind what everybody else is doing. This is not about what everybody's doing. This is about what I'm doing. Finally, in the final analysis, the old country saying is going to prove to be true, every tub has to sit on its own bottom. You're familiar with that? You ever heard that phrase? Dear preacher, friend of mine who's home with Jesus now, my hero in the Lord, man who is the greatest influence in my life, I suppose, outside of my immediate family, Brother Billy Bridges, great preacher of the gospel. Brother Billy and his wife, Miss Page, they had children that broke their heart. I don't know of a holier man who had a closer walk with God than Brother Billy did. And yet, some of his children broke his heart. They went the way of the world. They walked away from the gospel and lived lives of compromised spirituality. If they were saved at all, they were compromisers as Christians. And one day, sitting in their home, Miss Page, his wife, Miss Page, said, well, I've learned one thing. Every tub has to sit on its own bottom. Which means this. I can raise my children to know and love God, but finally, they have to make their own choice. And they're going to be answerable for their own choice. Every one of us as individuals. See, this is the fact of our text. The truth behind this verse is, there's no one to blame for me but me. And no one's going to have to answer to God for me but me. Every tree shall be known by his own fruit. This is an individual truth today. We're a buck-passing generation, aren't we? We love to pass the buck to somebody else. Nobody wants to admit that my personal life and my spiritual condition is my responsibility. Former President Harry S. Truman had a sign on the desk of the Oval Office when he was the President of the United States. Any of you ever heard this, read this in American history. Remember the statement that he was known for? The buck stops here. Now, as president, that makes sense, doesn't it? But let me tell you something. Spiritually, we better adopt that motto as our own, because the truth of the matter is, whether we like it or not, the buck stops here for my life. Every tree shall be known by his own fruit. The English Standard Version says, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Now, it's easy for us to try to blame other people for our spiritual condition, our choices. It's my friend's fault, you see. It's the crowd that I'm running with, my peer group. They make it so hard on me to be sold out to Jesus and to love God passionately. It's my friend's fault. They're the reason I'm not more spiritual than I am. Or it's my family's fault. My parents aren't what they ought to be behind closed doors. They disappoint me. They're hypocritical in their Christianity. My children, on the other hand, maybe it's not parents, maybe it's the other direction. My children are such a headache. If my kids weren't such a heartache to me, I could really be more useful to the Lord. Or, of course, then you come down to the wife or the husband pointing fingers at one another and saying, if my spouse wasn't so disagreeable, I could be full of the Holy Ghost. And I could amount to something for Jesus' sake. And then you have those who, you know, want to be a little more religious in their excuse making. They say it's the hypocrite's fault. The hypocrites. There's so many sham church members who act one way on Sunday but live wickedly Monday to Saturday, and that just discourages me to be faithful to the house and to the things of God. And the list goes on and on. That's a sampling of the kinds of people we want to point fingers at and blame for the condition that we're in. And to all of that, our text gives a great Greek word. Baloney. Poppycock. Nonsense. Ridiculous. You are what you are, and you do what you do because you choose to. And so do I. None of us conduct this. Every tree is known. You see, the nature of the tree is known by the fruit he bears. Not the climate or the environment, but the nature of the tree. Now, we live in a day of therapeutic thinking where everybody's really a victim of one kind or another, you see. That's how we think today. Everybody's a victim. And we're encouraged to not take responsibility for ourselves. We're encouraged to point our fingers of blame at someone else for our personal condition and our personal conduct. I heard this on the radio. You're going to think I made this up, but I swear to you, I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, I heard a Christian counselor on a radio station in Dallas, Texas, actually say this to a call-in. A woman called in whose heart was broken because her husband had cheated on her with another woman. At least it was another woman. In our day, you got to say that, amen. And she called into this Christian counselor on the radio and told him what was going on in her life and asked for his counsel. And this is what this jaybird said. He said, probably your husband suffered from deficient mother love when he was a child. And something about this woman that he's had an affair with, isn't it wonderful how we sanitize everything, had an affair with. The Bible uses much plainer language about it. But I'll just adopt his language. He said, probably something about this woman, this illicit lover that he's been bedding with, probably something about her reminded him subconsciously of his mother, and he's trying to fill in this gap of mother love that he was robbed of when he was a child. Can you believe that? Can you believe some sane person would say that? Yeah. Now, I read this. I'm going to quote this to you verbatim. Gary Smalley, he's one of the best-known Christian counselors, authors in America. Gary Smalley wrote this in an article of Good Housekeeping. Now, I'm going to date it for you so that you can, some of you are old enough to remember Frank Gifford and Kathy Lee Gifford. Frank Gifford had an affair on Kathy Lee years ago. Remember that? I was in a doctor's office with my wife reading a Good Housekeeping magazine. Look, things are bad when it comes down to that. But I picked up, we'd been there a while. You see what I'm saying? I picked up an issue of Good Housekeeping, and I'm flipping through it, and there is an article by Gary Smalley, who's a personal friend of Kathy Lee and Frank Gifford, trying to explain what was going on, because they were professing Christians, you know, and are professing Christians. He said this. This is a verbatim quote from him. I tore the page out of the magazine in the doctor's office to make sure I got it right. Here's what he said. An affair is almost always a person reaching out. It's a medication of sorts. Now listen, he said, it's a medication of sorts. Reaching out. See, he's changed terminology already. It's not an affair now. It's reaching out. Reaching out can be a medication for loneliness after a few nights away at a convention, or something more complicated that may even go back to a person's childhood. Finger pointing. Not my fault. It's medication, you see. I did this because, look, you have a headache, take Tylenol. You're lonely, have an affair. Just medication. See, that's what happens when good, sound Bible theology is replaced with pop psychology in the Church of Jesus Christ. That utter nonsense, that utter ridiculous nonsense. The fact of the matter is this nonsense psychobabble is robbing the Church of America of the impact of the gospel. Jesus said, it is what it is, folk. This is reality. Every tree is known by his own fruit. The fact of the matter is, I'm responsible for what I do. Nobody else is to blame. I do what I do because of who I am. Every tree is known by his own fruit. One dear brother put this, here is the first step toward maturity, to accept the responsibility for being what we are and doing what we do. I can never move ahead with the Lord until I accept responsibility for who I am and what I'm doing. It is a universal truth, every tree. It is an individual truth. Every tree shall be known by his own fruit. And finally, this is an evidential truth. There's evidence being spoken of here. Every tree shall be known by his own fruit. Known by his fruit, Jesus said. Now, I read to you verse 43 and the verses following as well. Jesus said, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And then following that in verse 46, Jesus asked the famous question, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, I'll tell you, folk, we've got to reckon with this in American religion today. We've got a bumper load, a bumper crop of people who are religious but have never been saved. And it's obvious from the lives that are being lived. They talk something, they say the right words, they've even prayed the prayer, you know, what we call the sinner's prayer. They've said the right words, but the testimony of their life says nothing has changed. Nothing has happened. Jesus has not come in. Whatever I am on the inside in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever I am on the inside in relation to Jesus will eventually and invariably manifest on the outside. Am I saved? Have I been born again by believing wholeheartedly on Jesus Christ? Then the fruit of salvation and newness in Christ will sprout and grow on the limbs of my life. If I'm saved, it's going to show up in the life that I'm living. If I'm unsaved, if I have never trusted Jesus, if I have not genuinely given my whole heart to Him, then that's going to show up in my life as well. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. And then he said this, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Indicating what? Indicating when a man really knows Christ, it will manifest in the fact that we, honest to God, want to do the will of the Lord. We really do want to obey the will of God. That's evidence that we know Jesus. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, that there are people who profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. You see, am I down on the inside, the secret me, the real heart of who I am I a red-hot, sold-out lover of God? Then that's going to become obvious to any objective observer. If they watch my life, that's going to be obvious. I will bear testimony to the reality of that in the way I live my life. Am I a cold-hearted, carnal Christian? Well, that's also going to be obvious from the priorities, from the evidence of the way I live my life. You see, folk, religion can be easily faked. Religion is an easy thing to feign, to fake. But the fruit of my life gives the true evidence of my spiritual condition. So I said at the beginning, and I say again, it is what it is. My actual everyday life is the evidence of what I really am on the inside. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Meaning, my heart condition is going to dictate everything else about me. What I am on the inside always shows up on the outside in the way I behave. Whether I'm born again and following hard after the Lord, or whether I'm unsaved or carnal as a Christian, you won't have to be around me long. In the real world of everyday life, you won't have to be around me long to see the obvious answer to which of those two things I am. It'll be as obvious as a nose on you. You see, the fruit of every tree reveals that tree's true character. Fruit is the final test of evidence. It is the final test of clarification. And may I say to you this morning as I finish that fruit has two outstanding marks about it. There are two things about fruit, the idea of fruit. First of all, fruit is observable. You don't have to have a graduate degree in horticulture to tell a fig tree from a cedar tree. You just need to look at its fruit. You just need to be around it a little bit. Fruit speaks of that which is plainly visible to the naked eye in terms of a person's behavior. It doesn't require deep spiritual discernment. No mysticism is necessary. It's just a matter of observing the daily living and the lifestyle of a person. Just look at where their passions are invested. Just watch what their priorities are. Just listen to their conversation and watch their manifest mannerisms. Our text is plain spoken, isn't it? I mean, it's about as plain as you can get. About the fact that my real self, who I am, in the secret inside of me, who I am, is plainly going to be evidenced by my lifestyle behavior. The obvious and observable things that I do and say. Well, 1 John talks about it, and we may look at that tonight, so I won't preach on it this morning, but I'll just quote a verse to you in case I don't preach it tonight. 1 John chapter 2 says this in verse 3 and 4, hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So fruit is observable, first of all. You can plainly see it. It's something that is obvious to the naked eye. And then secondly, fruit is edible. Fruit is edible. Fruit is something that people pick and eat. Fruit is something that men gather for the purpose of consumption, which raises the question, what are those around me having to swallow off of my life? Are the ones with whom I come in contact finding me to be a source of spiritual refreshment, nourishment, delicious fruit, the fruit of the Christ life? Can they pick and eat off of the limbs of my life the sweet fruit of the Spirit of God in me? The Bible says in Galatians 2, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. People who spend time around me, is that the kind of fruit they're eating off of my life? Is that what they get to swallow down from me? Or to those around me, including and especially my own family, my own immediate family, do those around me find my life bearing the bitter fruit of self and sin? Every one of us are producing some kind of fruit, and that means the people around whom we spend time and in whose company we spend time, they're having to swallow something from us. The people we work with, the people we go to school with, the people we live with, even the people we come in contact with on a casual basis, down at Walmart or Kmart or in the grocery store, the people that we rub shoulders with, they're having to swallow something off of our life. The only question is, what kind of fruit are we yielding for their consumption? See, that makes sense to me out of a verse of Scripture that probably many of you could quote, at least pieces of it. Proverbs 11 in verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? He that winneth souls is wise. That verse has been used and preached a million times, encouraging Christians to be soul winners, to pass the gospel along to the lost world around us. But the context of that statement, that's not about just handing a tract to somebody at the restaurant. That's not about just sticking a flyer under somebody's windshield wiper, inviting them to a revival meeting. The soul winning is in the context of fruit bearing. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Which means this, when Jesus is reigning on the inside, it's going to have an impact on the people that I'm around. They're going to plainly see there's a difference about me. And the difference is not me, the difference is Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is what it is. I'm no exception to this spiritual rule, and neither are you. This verse makes me want to cry out, "Oh Lord Jesus, fill me with thyself. Live in and through me, oh God." I don't want to be a religious fraud. I don't want to be a game-playing, mask-wearing pretender who's not real on the inside. Because whatever I am on the inside is always going to work its way out, either to be a blessing to the Lord and to the men that I'm in company with, or as a grief to God and a wound to those around in whose company I am. If the fruit of my life is disturbing me, if the fruit of your life witnesses against you today as a sold-out disciple of Jesus, then I say to you this morning, do what 2 Corinthians 13:5 says. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, lest you be reprobates? See, the Bible encourages that. The Bible encourages us to look ourselves over regularly and make sure that we're real, that it's genuine, that our Christianity is the real thing. And based on what you see when you examine yourself, cry out to Christ this morning. Either cry out to Him for salvation, if that's the need, or cry out for revival, whatever the need may be. Let the fruit of your life bear witness to you this morning. It is what it is. Now, I want to close by taking you to another verse in the Gospel of John chapter 15. Real quick, turn over. And I want to read this to you because this is very, very important in the context of what I'm preaching. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Jesus is speaking here as well. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now let me close by saying this. I was in a Bible conference and a dear man of God by the name of Jerry White made this statement, and it's changed my life forever. Jerry White said, don't spend your life as a Christian focusing on the wrong end of the branch. And here's what he meant. He said, you and I, I believe we can, in the context of what I preach today, this is a needful truth. You and I can look on the fruit end of the branch and say, man, I'm telling you, I'm in trouble. My life's not producing the kind of fruit that I want it to, that I know God wants it to. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to make some resolutions. I'm fixing to change some stuff. I'm going to strain. I'm going to push out some good fruit. I'm going to push some apples off of my life. I'm going to get some bananas here. I'm tired of this bitter weed. I'm tired of this nasty mess. I'm going to change my fruit by straining and working harder. No, you don't change your fruit by self-effort. You change your fruit by surrendering all you are to Jesus. See, the right end of the branch is the end that's stuck to Jesus. Christ said, abide in me and you can bear fruit. On your own, you can't do it. The kind of fruit that honors God can only be produced by Jesus. So I'm saying to you this morning, if your fruit's troubling you, look the other direction and make sure you're stuck to Jesus. Because Christ alone can fix what's wrong with any of us. Christ alone. Stand this morning as we pray. Father, I want to thank you for this verse of Scripture. It's so plain spoken that anybody can understand it. It's not complicated. And I pray that your Spirit would use it today to disturb us if we need to be disturbed, to comfort us if we need comforting, but most of all, to draw us to a place of full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus can empower us to be so different on the inside that our outside begins to change as well. God, help us now. Lord Jesus, you're our ready Savior. You're our ready help in time of need. Give us grace, as Brother Ernie sang this morning, to look at our lives and evaluate the fruit that they're bearing, and based on that, if need be, to cry out, heal me, O God. Change me, Lord Jesus. Revolutionize my heart so that my life becomes a positive praise to your glory and honor. Christ, I pray today. The Lord speaks to you this morning. The pastor will be here. Altar will be open. You do what the Lord says.